Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
All right. All right, we want to say welcome on behalf of Praise Tabernacle Church to our Tuesday night Bible study. On behalf of Bishop Omar Zachary and his wife, Lady Zachary, we want to welcome everyone that is listening all over the world to our Bible study tonight. We hope that, as we always say every week, that somebody gets a little nugget from the word, from either the speaker or one of the panel members, to carry them on to the next day. Not to the next week, but to the next day. And that you give God all the glory and give him all the honor, and that you'll find something that will encourage you and hold you and to keep you to pressing on in the things of God. As God has called you to do certain specific things, that you will be encouraged to continue on in those things. On behalf of our panel, I believe we got Elder Bluett on, we got Evangelist Stanton on, and of course we got our engineer, Elder Oliver, on, who without him, none of this would be happening. He does everything on Chaos Blog Talk Radio, and so we want to say a special thank you to him for the work that he does with Praise Tabernacle Church. And again, we just want to say welcome, welcome, welcome. I am your teacher tonight, Elder Taylor, and I hope that somebody just get a little something. Just get a little something to be encouraged, to keep pressing on. And I know we have people over in London and Germany and the Bahamas, all over the world, and different places in the United States that call in and listen and on Chaos Blog Talk Radio. So we just want you to be encouraged and know that we love you with the love of Jesus from Praise Tabernacle Church. And just have a good time. And we're going to ask our panel to interject. You know, if I get a little too long-winded, just interject. Just interrupt me and say you'd like to add something before you lose your train of thought. And that's perfectly fine. So tonight, our Bible study, we want to be coming out of two scriptures, John 14, verses 6 and 7, and then Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. Okay? So we're going to go over to Matthew first. And we want to come out of, like I said, Matthew 16. And this is for people that study the word, that reads the word of God. This is a very, very familiar scripture that most everyone should know. And the topic that I want to use tonight is, who do you say that Jesus is? Who is Jesus to you? And I know a lot of times that can change from day to day with some people. I know that could change depending on where we're going through at the time or what Jesus means to us. But who Jesus is and what he is should mean the same to us regardless of what we're going through or what we're dealing with. Because he's the same. He never changes who he is. He never changes about what he's about and how he handles his people. So what he means to us should never change. He should always be the Jesus that we know, love, care about, because we know he loves and cares about us. We should always be obedient to him, not just based off of what he does for us, but for who he is. Just offer that alone. Just offer that alone. Just who he is really all we need to know about Jesus. So let's get into the scriptures. We're going to start off with Matthew 16. And this is where Jesus has came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. And he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, is? All right? So they've been out and they've been among the people, and Jesus wanted to know. I'm sure he probably already had an idea, but he wanted to know. What are the disciples hearing? What are the disciples hearing about the people talking amongst themselves about who Jesus is and what kind of man is he? So they're probably, you know, Jesus just wants to know, what are they hearing among the people? Verse 14, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Now he's being a little more specific. Now he's asking them, who do you say that I am? And so that's where our title want to come from tonight. Who do you say Jesus is who you say Jesus is it dependent on if you got money in the bank? Who you say that Jesus is, does that depend on how healthy your body is? What kind of home you have? Do you have a car to drive? Do you have a job? Do some of these worldly things depend on who you say that Jesus is in your life at any particular time in your walk with him? So that's the question for tonight. And I'll read verse 15 again. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter, verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's exactly who he is. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that should never change to us that love him and worship him and that serve him. That should never change for us. Because he's always going to be there, regardless of what we think or not. Verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And he said, blessed by John. He said, because your flesh and blood could not have revealed this to you, but that the Father in heaven gave it to him. All right? Verse 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. All right? So this was the beginning. So this is when the beginning of the church began. Okay? The church was a mystery. All right? I'm going to read something to you. The church was a mystery. In the Old Testament, it was prophesied, and these words spoken to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. In this prophecy, there is a play on the word rock, which also happens to be Peter's name. Jesus said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Okay? So this is like the beginning of the church. All right? Once Peter acknowledged openly who Jesus is. So I'm opening up. Does the panel have any? Does anybody like to add anything or say anything as we move along?
So I will say that in verse 13 of 16th chapter of Matthew, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So it wasn't that Jesus was ignorant of, you know, who he was or ignorant of what people thought, because he knew the hearts and the thoughts of every man. What he wanted to hear was what his disciples would say, where they stand in their faith. That would give him the opportunity to make it more clearer. You know, so like when somebody's teaching real good, it's always good for that person to ask, are there any questions, or, you know, in so many words, do you follow me, right? Just to see where they're at in their walk. And that's what Jesus was doing in verse 13, just to see where they were. Now, he knew their heart. He knew their intentions. He knew everything about them. But there's something about when we confess. There's something about when we speak, when we talk, that gives definition of where we're at in life. Jesus just wanted to hear that so he can make it more clear to them in their walk, because they would be the ones that would be witnessing of him. So yeah, that's all I got.
Right. Absolutely right, Elder Blewett. You are so correct in that statement, because he wanted to be sure and that they be clear on how they represent him when he goes back, when he is transitioned back into the heavens, especially. So that's good. That is very good, because it's a lot of words that Jesus is identified by. You know, he has a lot of adjectives about who he is, and some of those things. Jesus, let's hold that for 1 second. Let's go over to John 14.
Hold on, Elder. One more. Just stay on that subject. Him wanting to know what they thought. So if you go to verse 14 and 15, you know, we get the answer that he already knew, but the confession from them out of their own mouth. In verse 14, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Mm-hmm. So he's meditating, or his direction is toward them.
Right.
For their walk that's getting ready to happen, you know, after his passion, after he is risen. So verse 13 is, he knows what's in the heart of man, and what people are concerned about is what they really, really thought. And verse 14 and 15 explain what they thought. And that's how he digs in even further from there. But, yeah, go ahead, sir.
Because later on in this, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Elder. I want to interject real quick right here. When I look at this and I think about Jesus asking the disciples, but who do you say that I am? When you have a close relationship with somebody, when you've been walking with them and talking with them, and when you see, you know, how they are day to day, you should be able to describe the person that you're around the most. You should, you know, have in your mouth words that can describe that person, because there's an intimacy there. And when you are intimate with somebody that you're with all the time, and somebody say to you, how would you describe me? You should be able to describe them because you're intimate with that person. And when I say intimate, not sexual intimacy, I'm talking about intimate, you know, hanging out with them, being around them, seeing how they interact with other people, you know. When I think about Jesus asking that question of the disciples, it comes from a place of intimacy. But who do you say that I am? Now that we've been intimate, now that you've seen me, you know, now that you've been around me, who do you say that I am? And even as the sons and daughters of the Most High God right now, if you have a relationship with Christ, you understand he loves you above any and all things. What kind of intimacy do you have with him right now? That, you know, what words would you use to describe him because of that intimacy? And if you don't have the words, then you need to check if you're being intimate with Christ.
That's good. That's good.
That's real, that's real good. That is a real good nugget right there. We can stop right now because that's it in a nutshell. Where I wanted to go tonight. That's it right there. You know, who do you say that he is? And like Evangelist Stan said, it's really predicated on what kind of relationship that you have with Jesus and how intimate you are or that we are or that I am with him. You know, is it just every now and then? Or is it every day, you know, a couple times a day that we call his name and or we seek his face? And it's not always just about asking for something. It's just acknowledging him, you know. And so he should be the same thing to everybody. You know, he should be. Over in John, he says that, you know, that I was going to read here in a few minutes. You see, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, you know. And he said, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him, you know. So he's telling them, you know, even when you see me, you see the Father. You know, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he's everything to us. And there should be nothing that we go through in life that should change who he is to us. And if it is, if we go through things in life and it changes the fact how we feel about Jesus, then we need to check our relationship with him. And the intimacy level, going back to Evangelist Stanton, when she was saying, the intimacy level that we have with him. Because now that seems like it's a superficial relationship. And it's all just about what we can get from him. You know, if Jesus, we have to ask ourselves, if Jesus didn't do anything else for me ever again, can I still love him? If he didn't do anything else for me, but just let me live from day to day and have a relationship, could I still love him the same? Could I still worship him the same? Could I still read and study the same? If I didn't feel like, you know, anything was going on in my life right away. So, those are questions that we have to ask ourselves. You know, can I still love him and say that he's the greatest? That I acknowledge that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can I still say that when I'm going through? Mm-hmm. Can I still say, Lord, you are my everything when my body is aching with pain? Can I still find peace in him when all hell is broke off in my life, when I'm going through and it seems like it's just one thing after another, can I still seek his face? Can I still say, Lord, Lord? To me, personally, that's where I find myself drawing nearer, asking, you know, and not giving up on the fact that I know who he is and what he's about, you know, until something happens. So these are questions that we have to ask ourselves from time to time. This is not an everyday thing, but just we have to do a relationship check in our relationship with the Lord and ask ourselves, you know, where we stand in the eyes of the Lord. Who do we say that he is at any particular time in our walk? You know, we got to check ourselves. You know, and because like I said before, he never changes. He's always going to be the Son of God. That's never going to change. He's always going to be a Lord and Savior, whether you accept him as your Lord and Savior or not. You know, so he's always going to be a deliverer, whether we get delivered or not. He's always going to be a healer, whether our body gets healed or not. He's always going to be the Prince of Peace, whether we can find peace or not. He's always going to be victory in this world, whether we choose to walk in it or not. So, he's always going to be a shepherd, whether we choose to follow him as a shepherd or not. He's always going to be a representation of what love is all about, whether we choose to receive that love or share that love that comes from him unto others by telling others who he is and what he's about. So he's always going to be a redeemer. You know, he's always going to be someone that wakes you up daily. You know, he's always going to be that kind of person, that kind of spiritual, intimate being that we can get connected to and stay connected to regardless of how we feel that day. Based on how we feel, to never determine on how we say or who we think Jesus is. Never. You know, we never should. Would anybody like to add anything?
No, you're good, Doc. Go ahead.
Hallelujah. I just want to thank God for this opportunity to give him glory and to give him honor. I just want to give God all the glory and all the honor. Because without him, there is no tomorrow. Without him, I cannot see the next day. Because my faith and trust is in him. In which all of our faith and trust should be within him. Our walk, our talk must be in him. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So we got to trust that. We got to trust that. We got to believe that. You know? And know that he is who he say he is and who we believe that he is. No matter what is going on in the world around us, in our own personal lives, can we have an answer when someone comes to us and say, you're a Christian? You say you love the Lord, you love God. What can you tell me about him? Who is he? Would we be able to give an answer? And what would our answer be based off of? Would it be based off of what we read in the Bible? Would it be based off of our own personal experience? You know, our own interaction? Or it could be all of that. You know, I would tell him who I believe that he is and what he is and what he's about. And I'll also tell that person, if you don't have him in your life, then you need to have him. Because life is everlasting with Jesus. There's no damnation with him. Even in death, you will be resurrected with him when he comes back. And that's what I would tell somebody that's seeking to look for something that they're in need of in their life. And I believe, and this is what Jesus, how he was preparing the disciples over in Matthew, when he asked them, who do you say that I am? You know, if Jesus was to ask you, you know, who do you say that I am? What kind of answer would you give? You know, and that's not just a rhetorical question. That's for anybody that's listening all over the world, that's tuned in tonight. If Jesus asks you, son, daughter, who do you say that I am? What kind of answer will we give him? Would it be an answer from our heart or some political answer or that we just think he wants to hear? You know, because he wants us to speak from our heart on who we believe he is and what he is. You know, and know that the Holy Ghost shared this with you about him. Would anybody like to add anything? Kind of quiet panel.
It's good, Elder. It's good. It's very reflective of what your relationship is like. I mean, because think about it. You yourself, all of us, you want to be loved. You want people, you know, in your life that love you for who you are. It's no different with Christ. I mean, Christ loves us unconditionally. And it's like, how do we love him? How do we show him that love? How do we give him that love? And like you said earlier, are we just seeking the hand of God but not the face of God, seeking what he can do for us, you know, instead of just, you know, seeking a relationship? Too often that's what people do, but he wants a relationship, you know, not just we call on him when we need or want something from him, but to sit, to talk with him, to read his word, to read his word back to him. I mean, that's an intimate relationship, to pray. Prayer is talking, it's a conversation, to be quiet and listen, because, you know, after you've talked, then maybe he has something to say, but, you know, to get still and be quiet and have that relationship with him. So, I mean, I'm just quiet because I'm just thinking about what you're saying, and I like what you said about Jesus still being who he is. Even if he doesn't do it, he's still who he is.
That's right.
You know, even if he doesn't heal me. And that was just so thought-provoking, because even if I don't get healed, he's still the healer. So I'm not going to get mad at him because I didn't get healed, because it's just not right now. It doesn't necessarily mean I won't be. You know, my faith still says I am healed. My faith still says I'm walking in my healing. My faith still says he's going to make a way out of no way. But even if he doesn't do it, he's already done enough.
That's right.
So it's just very, very thought-provoking, and I appreciate that on tonight.
Yeah, that is
Elder,
so cool.
I want to just chime in real quick.
Just real quick.
When, you know, he asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? I think we take that for granted. And what I mean by that is, I'm just going to use myself as an example. I was coughing and sneezing the other day, and the first thing that I said to myself wasn't Jesus could heal me. Is, you know, a common cold lasts 3 days. So I wanted to get the proper stuff I may have needed to get rid of the cold. But see, I'm a believer, and I should have believed before I thought about getting medicine. Well, my body could be healed, because that's who Jesus is to me. He's a healer. But a lot of times, and I just use that as an example, we forget who he is. And sometimes regarding the situation, we put him in a box. Because we don't sometimes think that he could heal us in an instant and in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We just feel like we can ride it out. And sometimes we forget who he really is and what he really can do and the power that he has within us. And it's when you're teaching tonight, who do men say that I am, or who do I say that he is? I'm not saying now, but in the past, I would put him in a box. And when I needed him in an emergency, I would bring him out. But if it was something I can handle, like a common cold, well, I'd just go to the store and get some stuff that I need, instead of believing that he could heal the common cold right then and there, or believing that he can take care of a situation right then and there. But when we really, really need him in a situation, we can't look, we're looking for that miracle. But in the small thing, and in order to believe him in the small things, we have to be spiritually and just know the word to get us out of the situation. And sometimes we just don't know the word to get us out of the situation, because we're not really connected to him the way he wants us to be connected to him. Only when things are dire straight, we start believing. But on a small scale, if we can believe him for the small things, we should be able to believe him for the big things, and vice versa. That's all I wanted to say, Doc. Good teaching.
Yeah, I agree with the it's like we don't trust him with the small things, because we don't think, because we only want to go to him when it's stuff that's just completely out of our control, and that only we feel like only he can fix it, you know. But the small things, I go to him with the small things as well. Lord, I need you to move on this. Lord, can you help me get through this? On the little things that may be very insignificant to somebody else, but just acknowledging him in the situation. Whether, you know, I can still do it on my own, you know, I just may need some peace to go through it. And whose perfect peace is there to have? No other peace than Jesus' peace in any situation. Whose joy is greater than the joy of Jesus Christ? No other joy. So regardless of your situation, regardless of your circumstance, you know, we have to give him all the credit, you know, because he wants us to come to him, I believe. He wants us to seek his face.
First.
You know, he wants us to put him ahead of anybody and everything. He wants us to apply him to our lives effectively on a daily basis, whether it's something small or whether it's something big, regardless of what we're going through. I got to get a twinge in my back, and it just won't seem go away. I just said, Lord, just touch my back. Just heal my back, Lord God. Just something simple. Just talk to him. Commune with him. Get to know who he is.
Amen.
So you would know what kind of relationship that you know, I know what kind of relationship I have with him. just like your spouse. You know, how are you going to know anything about your spouse or get to know your spouse more, you know, if you don't commune, if you don't interact, you know, even your children, you know, as they grow up, they change. But you still have to commune with them as a parent so you can understand what they're going through and what they're dealing with. And so we have to, as men and women of God, as we mature, as we change, we have to stay that course with Christ so that he can continue to teach us, continue to show us more and more of himself in our lives, you know. So everything is not hard in our life. And even the hard things don't seem hard because of his love, because of his peace, because of his joy, and our intimate relationship with him. You know, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Help me, Lord. We have to be in tune with him as well as he be in tune with us. And on a day-to-day basis, you know, so when the question arises, if a sinner man comes off the street or a coworker or somebody that don't really have a relationship with God or with Jesus but knows about him, and they come to you knowing that you are a Christian, and they come to you and they ask you, who is Jesus? Will we have stammering lips? Or can we come straight out with an answer boldly and confidently of who he is in our life and what he means to us and our walk with him, so that we can share with him or with the world quickly and have available words of who he is, and not be ashamed to talk about him in the open forum, in the public, around worldly people. You know, this is something that we have to walk boldly in. You know, anybody like to add anything?
Yes, sir, I'd like to add something to this. Only anybody that would understand God or understand Jesus is who God calls, who God reveals himself to. And this is perfect in these verses right here in John 16, starting at verse 14. Excuse me. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias and others Jeremiah are one of the prophets. And Jesus said, he saith unto them, whom say ye that I am? So verse 16 of John 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Last verse, verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjonas, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So it's hard to say to some people, who Jesus is or who God is, or if God has not drew them to have an understanding or drew them to pique their interest. And it's a lot of folk that we talk to or that we preach to, that we teach to, that just will not, you know, get with it, will not get what you're saying, will not understand. Matter of fact, they will even raise questions to what you're teaching or preaching because God has not drew them. I think we get in a mindset of that, okay, well, they're no good, or they're just sinners, or they're just that and the other. We can't do that. It's who God draws, as Jesus explained in verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed are thou, Simon Barjonas, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee. Meaning, you wasn't taught this by man. It wasn't said to you by man, but my Father which is in heaven. Right? So to know Jesus or to preach or to teach, you know, to do this, that, or the other, we can say it. We can put it in the atmosphere. We can put it in the hearing of people. But it's God that draws them. So the Holy Ghost, and I saw this today on Facebook, and I think Elder Oliver put it on there, and I heard this years ago, about the Holy Ghost is only in place inside of people to preach about the resurrection. That's it. Only about the be witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's it. Now, you have the gospel. That's true. But it's only for the power, to give us power to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So for folks to get to know God, God has to draw them. And who God draws, Jesus works them. That's all I got, Bob.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I agree, you know. But I also believe that, you know, people, because everybody that comes into the church is not going to be saved. It's going to be worldly people that come into the church that still need to hear a word about Jesus. And that really does not mean always that they were drawn to the church. They just could have been invited by somebody or, you know, just had the mind to come, you know. And I believe that they still must hear a word that can help draw them through Christ to, you know, submit their ways unto him and to acknowledge him and begin an intimate, dedicated, strong relationship to him. You know, because that's what the disciples did. They went out and they began to spread the gospel. You know, like we talk about, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. You know, that's the purpose, you know, for us to go into the highways and byways into the hedges and share with people about Jesus and who he is. Use our life as a testimony, what he is to us. You know, if we could plant the seed about Jesus in people's lives, the Holy Ghost could come along and give the increase. Share Holy Ghost water onto that seed. And allow that seed to grow within that person, and want them, and then they begin to want to know more and more about who Jesus is, and you know, and he begins to share more and more of himself with that person or with us. Even people that's been saved 40 years still need the same thing. Still need to be encouraged, you know, through the word. You know, still need to be encouraged through the Holy Ghost just to keep pressing, to stay encouraged, to keep moving in our day-to-day walk.
Amen.
So I just want to encourage, I just want to encourage people, anyone that's listening, that you can always share a word of who Jesus is to somebody. You know, you can always share who Jesus is, who he is to you in your walk with him. You know, and it's kind of hard to explain anything about Jesus if you don't have a relationship with him. If you don't understand or read his word, you know, so it's kind of hard to share. You know, if I didn't have a real good relationship with my wife, you know, somebody asked me, tell me a little bit about your wife. There ain't but so much I can say. And that's bad. You know.
Amen.
Because my relationship with her should be intimate. You know, and like Evangelist Stan said before, it's not necessarily a sexual intimacy, but a special intimate relationship. You know, when you're in tune just with each other. And that's where we need to be with Jesus.
Amen.
Our relationship with him needs to be different than any other relationship that we have with anybody else, ever. Our relationship with him has to be different. You know, and it has to be higher.
Yeah.
It has to be deeper. It has to be, and other people have to see what kind of relationship that you have with him. Can they see Christ in you? By the way we talk, by the way we live. And that's what I want. I want people to see Christ in me.
Amen.
Not just based off of what I say or what I do, but how I live and the peace of God. They can know all kind of hell that broke off in my life, but it don't look like it's fazed me much. And people, how are you getting through this? Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Because he says, I am the way. Because he said, I am the truth. Because he said, I am the life. Hallelujah. And that's the only way we're going to make it. It's through Jesus.
Amen.
And his word. And his Holy Ghost. I hear Evangelist Bluette. Evangelist Bluette, you like to say anything?
I do. I'm over here itching. I got in here late, and I just saw the text that I can chime in. I came in late. I really don't know what I was saying, but I just wanted, I did come in where you were talking about the church and people should want to, you know, in the church, how can we, I always look outside the church because I do most of my ministry outside the church. And the word says with love and kindness, with the love, you got to draw.
Right.
And a lot of times the church is lacking love.
That's right.
Okay, and until we show that love and get back to the basics, all them commandments, all of them are irrelevant if you don't have the love. Because
mm-hmm.
if you
That's
have
good.
The love, everything else has become easy to do and to keep. I'm a stickler on love and showing love and being love. And that's how I show Christ. That's how we should show Christ, not behind a pulpit preaching. I mean, not saying that you shouldn't, you know, but the majority of ministry is the love that you show to others and serving others.
Mm-hmm.
You serve it out of love. You're doing things out of love, not out of obligation or tradition or things that you
right.
have to do because this is what you do on Sundays or Tuesday nights or whatever. Not doing it out of obligation, but do it because you love it. Do it because you're helping
right.
somebody. Doing it because you're making a difference. Not just doing something because it's traditional. You was raised doing it because you could be been raised doing things wrong, and be teach and to be teachable.
That's right. You know, with love and kindness, have I drawn thee? You know, it's the greatest commandment to know or have that we love one another. And what is that representation of love? It's Jesus. There's none greater. There's none wiser, you know, than he. And we should always be able to give a reason or explanation as to why we are who we are in him. And it just simply, the answer could be because he is who he is all by himself. You know, so, you know, and that's pretty much the first commandment is that we love one another, you know. And, you know, he says that I am the Lord God, you know. And so we just got to keep the faith in who we know him to be and who we trust him to be in our individual lives as we share him with other people and to encourage other people you know, and to let people know that to worship him, to serve him, to live for him is not just based off of what we see. You know, it's not just based off of how we feel that day. It's not just based off of what we're going through at any particular time. You know, it's not based off of that. You know, we have to continue to press in into Jesus. You know, we have to continue to talk to him, to commune with him as he gives us direction on how to live our lives on a day-to-day basis. You know, we should always be learning and coming into the knowledge of who he is and what his word says about him and what some of the disciples are saying about him in the New Testament. So I just want to encourage everybody, you know, if you don't know who he is, see what, ask him, Lord, can you reveal unto me who you are? Can you reveal unto me, you know, what you don't understand about him? And I believe he will. But we have to have a continually relationship with the Lord. It can't be hit and miss whenever we feel like it, you know, every now and then, you know, when it's conducive to our schedule. That's not the kind of relationship you're going to have with Jesus and be successful in him. It has to be a dedicated, committed relationship with him. And like Evangelist Bluette said, that it has to be based off love first and foremost, because we love him because he first loved us. And the love of Jesus Christ, it covers a multitude of sins. So we have to know those things, these attributes about who he is. So if someone asks you, who do you say that Jesus Christ is? We'll be able to give them a legitimate answer as we walk with him, as we talk with him. You know, so that's it. I'm done for the Bible study tonight. If the panel would like to add anything else to the word tonight, any other comments from the panel? No? Okay. Well, I'm going to hand the rest of this service over into our own evangelist, Stanton, so that she can close us out and close our Tuesday night Bible study for tonight. God bless you all. Thank you for tuning in. In Jesus' name, amen. Evangelist.
Amen, Elder Taylor. Such a thought-provoking lesson on tonight. I know we were a little quiet on the panel tonight, but it was very thought-provoking probably for all of us. And we pray that you as the listeners on tonight really captured what Elder Taylor was saying and to examine your relationship with Christ so that you can answer who is he in your life, who is Jesus in your life. And that's really something to really examine. And I think it's crucial and very important for us to examine that relationship, because when you have Christ in your life, you have that peace, you have joy, you have deliverance, you have salvation. You can be delivered and set free from addiction. having Christ in your life is so crucial. So thank you, Elder Taylor, for the lesson on tonight. Very, very thought-provoking, very great lesson. We appreciate each and every one of you listening on tonight, our Tuesday night Bible study. I would just like to let you know our schedule for the week. On Monday nights, we do have D&K Bible Break with our own Elder Oliver and his beautiful wife, Kisa Oliver. That is at 7 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio. On Tuesday night, of course, we have our Bible study at 7 p.m. On Thursday night, we have Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministries at 7 p.m. It is on Facebook Live and Blog Talk Radio. Just a reminder to each and every one of us that our first ministry is at home. And then on Sunday, we have Live at the Tabernacle. It is at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. If you would like our address, or if you would like to send any prayer requests in or any praise reports, testimonies, or if there's just something that you would like for the panel to cover in Bible study, please feel free to email us at ptcforchrist@gmail.com. Once again, that is ptcforchrist, christ@gmail.com. You can remain anonymous. You don't have to be ashamed if there's something that you want the panel to talk about. You know, we're not looking at who sent the email. We just want to know your heart, and if there's something that you really want us to discuss, we will go into the Word of God. We're not going to give you our opinion. We're going to give you what thus said the Lord God Almighty. We're going to let the Bible talk.
Right.
We would like to close out with a short prayer, and then we're going to close with Matthew 28 and 19. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this Bible study on today. I pray, Father God, that you would refresh Elder Taylor for everything that he's poured out. I pray that you would pour back into him and more in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you would restore that virtue inside of him, God. Father God, we thank you for this word, that we would take a self-examination of the relationship that we have with you. Are we sitting and being intimate with you? We thank you, God, for another chance to have the opportunity for that intimacy. We pray that you forgive us, God, for our shortcomings. Forgive us for not taking the time to spend with you, to get to know you better, God. We pray, God, that we won't just leave the same way that we came off of this Bible study, but we would make a determination in our heart that our relationship would turn for the better. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, honor, and glory. And as we close on each time we meet, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Have a blessed week. Stay encouraged and examine your relationship with Christ. Until the next time we meet, good night.
Amen.